Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
While the House of Representatives votes to approve more training and arming of rebels and anti-ISIS groups in Syria, it appears that ISIS may have chosen Australia as the place to begin new terror operations. Here's Australian Prime Minister Tony Abbott.
Quite direct exhortations were coming from an Australian who is apparently quite senior in ISIL to conduct demonstration killings here in this country. This is not just suspicion. This is intent, and that's why the police and security agencies decided to act in the way they have.
We'll have more from Australia on an unprecedented police sweep detaining 15 people and arresting one young man in an alleged plot to carry out killings in the cities of Sydney and Brisbane. But in an unusual show of bipartisanship, the House voted to support the president's plan to aid anti-ISIS groups in Syria. The measure moves on to the Senate, but as to whether the White House is planning for or stuck on a road to another ground war in Iraq, Congress has less certainty and a lot of trepidation. There's a long track record of congressional missteps and White House overreaches in dealing with terrorism since 2001. Jane Harman is a former U.S. representative from California, now the president of the Woodrow Wilson International Center for Scholars. Harman says time is running out to keep Iraq from coming apart altogether, and the U.S. needs to watch out that its policies don't end up aiding the very people the U.S. is trying to weaken.
I am in favor of a much more limited strategy modeled on what the president's doing than I at least initially favored before. Our counterinsurgency strategy that we applied in Afghanistan and Iraq had three parts: clear, get the bad guys out, hold the territory, and then build or rebuild what was there. This time, all we're talking about is a U.S. role to clear. That means an air campaign to try to at least degrade the bad guys. Then we're talking about other people, some regional actors, to hold the ground that's been cleared, and nobody's talking about build. So this is a much more limited mission, and I think it shows that we've learned the lessons of some of our past efforts.
But can you thread the needle in a place like Syria and only fund and help people who, you know, you believe will be on your side eventually, without ending up helping people like Bashar al-Assad, who the president is on record saying should leave office, or helping the people who became ISIS, who were part of the opposition at one point? We had those problems with helping the Mujahideen in Afghanistan who became al-Qaeda.
Well, to paraphrase Bill Clinton, it depends on what the definition of you is. I think you is a coalition effort, which we are vigorously building and which John Allen, a retired general who's very capable, will head. And the mission is not just a kinetic mission. It's not just a bombing mission. It's a political mission to try to create somebody on the ground to hold the ground. Let's talk about Syria, because it's a much harder problem than Iraq. At least in Iraq, there is a new government which needs to succeed. This is Iraq's last chance to be Iraq. If this government fails to hold Iraq together, there will be three parts of Iraq. There will be Shiistan, I guess you could call it, which will be Baghdad and areas around it. There will be Jihadistan, which is the Sunni areas run by ISIS. And there will be Kurdistan. That's not a good recipe. We may end up there, but hopefully the Jihadistan piece can't happen. That's why Iraq needs to hold together. So at least we have someone on the ground there. In Syria, it's dicier because the area where ISIS is, ISIL, is not governed by Bashar. He's basically the mayor of Alawite land, which is the spine of Syria along the coast. And that's basically ungoverned territory. Who's in charge there? No one. A mixture of bad guys and less bad guys. And the approach we are taking is that we will train up. We do know how to train 5,000 vetted people, and we will train them outside of Syria, in Saudi Arabia primarily, to be the folks on the ground who hold the area. But in addition, we have to anticipate that the region will help us with this. And I think the neighborhood has gotten the message that ISIL is not going to confine its activities to Syria and Iraq. It's already gone over the border in Jordan, which has a huge refugee problem, refugees from Syria. and it's destabilizing Lebanon. And I've been predicting for weeks that Saudi Arabia needs to get into this game big time, because the logical capital of this faux caliphate would be Mecca.
Although there are plenty of people who say the Saudis have been in this game for a while, they've actually been supporting ISIS along with the Qataris, and now they're going to be helping us vet the folks in Syria. It seems to me we're approaching a critical mass of absurdity here.
Well, the Saudi government hasn't been funding ISIL, but some rich Saudis have. That's right. And the Qataris, I think their role is even darker. But one of the things in the president's strategy, which is obviously right, is to go after the financing for ISIL. And that requires these countries to police their borders. Money doesn't move just through bank accounts in this part of the world. It moves in suitcases. And these methods of moving money have to end, and these governments know how to end that.
Why are you confident that the U.S. can vet the troops that will go into Syria and confront Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi, who is reported to be running ISIS from inside Syria, from Raqqa?
Am I confident? It will take more than vetting. We really need to confront the ideology of ISIL, this, you know, sick ideology, as we vet people and put them on the ground, because the goal is not just to win this kinetically, I've said this many times, but to win this politically. And the way you win it politically is by persuading some kid in the boonies of Syria not to strap on a suicide vest, or some kid in the boonies or anywhere in an inner city in the United States not to be radicalized and go over there.
Well, will you be satisfied, or how dissatisfied will you be, if at the end of the day a containment of ISIS basically gives us that jihadistan you were talking about, and that Iraq is partitioned into a Shia south and a Kurdish oil-rich north around Erbil?
Well, I will be very unsatisfied if that's the outcome. If the outcome is a partition of Iraq, or a soft partition, in other words, a confederation of three regions, and the Sunni region is not jihadistan, but it's Sunnistan, and it's got some capable government and these enormously grotesque murderers are not part of that, I can live with that. But I think what we have to insist on is removing this enormous cancer in the middle of all this, which is destabilizing the region first. That's why the region's face has to be on the solution. But it also threatens us. We should be trying to block their messages, certainly not amplifying them. TV stations should not rerun this ghoulish, awful, incendiary stuff. And we should counter them. And we should counter them using advanced social media means, so that instead of getting push messages from ISIL, you get push messages from moderate, responsible Muslims who think ISIL's dreadful.
Jane Harman is a former U.S. representative from California and now the president of the Woodrow Wilson International Center for Scholars.